mentioned Brother Steve Rings with his wife, Marcia. He's the pastor of Eastside Baptist Church in Vinton, Arkansas. He's also a college professor and a prison chaplain, and preaches when he gets done preaching. He preaches some more.
Amen.
And this is his 50th year in the ministry. Well, 51st year, actually. He's been preaching for 50 years, the gospel. So he's not a novice in the word. He's coming to feed us the word of God. And my dear friend, Brother Combs.
Praise God.
Amen. It's also a good buddy to have.
Yes, sir. I noticed that as we were getting started, finger going over my way, the battery is low. You know what a preacher sounds like when his battery's low? Not so good. But Brother Samuel put a new battery in. I hope it doesn't electrocute me. Roger, Dodger. Did I? Are you good? Not yet.
There you go.
It takes the pastor to fix it. He's also a very sweet man. Everybody named Sweet brings me water. First I was told, are you one of these preachers who stays in the pulpit? As long as you stay in the pulpit, you're okay. If you move around, we gotta give you one of these things. So I said, well, I don't have to move around a lot. But then they gave me one of these things anyway. I guess that means I can walk over here. Can y'all still hear me? All right. Good. I want to turn your attention to the book of Isaiah. Or as they say in jolly old England, Isaiah. Chapter 26. Verse number 3. Will be our text. I want to unpack that verse in reverse order. I would not waste your time and ask you by a show of hands to show me if you've ever felt in a tight, if you ever felt stress, if you ever been challenged, if you ever felt like you had some difficulty, something on your mind, something on your heart. Because you have. You might right now. And if you don't right now, you might very soon afterward. Until this last century, the word stress was a word used almost exclusively by engineers. They want to know if a bridge is going to hold. They want to know if they can build this high with a foundation that goes this low. They train themselves on the forces of construction. But since the last century, people have come to use the word stress to mean tensions, problems. When I was a kid, there was a commercial that came on and it said, noise. Sounds, smells, sights, this and that, all these things. It's giving you a headache. And they were selling aspirin. I'm thinking, yeah, I have a headache now, thanks to your commercial. You know, some people, when they have a challenge, They want to go to the laugh factory. They want to just laugh it off. Other people say, I'm John Wayne. I can take it. Other people want to just put their head in the sand. I don't know what that does except get sand in your hair, does it? And other people say, let's go to a specialist. I can talk to somebody. Maybe they have a methodology. Maybe they have some way they can help me out with my problems. In a Christian school, mind you, my wife and I were teaching in a Christian school in Little Rock. They brought someone in to speak in chapel. And they didn't use any scripture. That was their first problem. And instead, they went to human reasoning. They said, here's what you do. If you have a, Brother Dan, if you have something dogging you, here's what you do. Before you have a problem, imagine a happy place. And think about how happy you are in that happy place. And so next time something happens, go to that happy place. Even the kids saw through that stuff. Folks, you can't talk yourself out of problems. And sometimes you tell about your problems to people. That didn't work for Mr. Job too much now, did it? He finally said, you guys, I'd fire you if I was paying you for my counselors. And sometimes we just get frazzled, don't we? Well, Isaiah 26:3 tells us biblically how to have perfect peace of mind. That's how God puts it, and he's not fooling around when he says it. Now, there are three parts to this verse. And so, part A says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. You say, I could use that. If I don't need it today, I might need it tomorrow, next week, next month. Sometime I'll have a challenge. I'll have a problem. I'll be in a quandary and I'll want to get out. Perfect peace. Might want to put a little star by this verse. If you have a, I got a bunch of pens. I got a highlighter. If you want to highlight it in your Bible, it might help you. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Doesn't say anything about meditating on your navel. Doesn't say anything about rationalizing or thinking about what are the odds it's really going to happen. I looked at the statistics. Did you know that only 1 in 20 people in America who get bit by rattlesnakes die from it every year? Are you going to remember that if you get rattlesnake bit? No, I think you go to the doctor. Because you might be the 1 out of 20 that doesn't live. Stats don't mean a whole lot if you're the one. People get on an airplane. Statistically, I'm safer in an airplane. But every time, this is your captain speaking, uh-oh, I'm one of those. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Of course, that's the middle thought, and that's the heart of the matter. Too many people, they're trusting in statistics. In my younger days, I got my hands on the books of Dale Carnegie, and he wrote a book, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. And he gives all these little platitudes. He talks about, look at the odds of something happening. You know, the odds are you won't die today. The odds are, but you know what? One of these days it's going to happen. And you need to be ready for that. Last night I preached the gospel. And if you are a Christian, you rejoice in the gospel. And if you're not, you definitely need the gospel. But my message this morning is directed more to those who have come to know the Lord. Because if you don't know the Lord, you know, one man used an interesting expression I get a kick out of. He said, there are some people, They don't really know what we're talking about. They're getting, as he said, drunk sniffing somebody else's cork. There's a lot of folks out there, they don't have a clue what it is to be a Christian. They think, well, they go to church, I don't. They talk a certain way, I don't. They order their life a certain way, and I don't. But basically, we're the same people. See, they look on the outside. They watch you, they listen to you, they try to evaluate you. They'll compare themselves to you. But they can't see the heart. They can't appreciate the mind. They can't know what you do and why you do it. Really couldn't expect them to. We pray the Lord will open their eyes, open their ears. If you're a child of God, and I trust the majority of you are, and if you've ever had problems, and I know you have, if you don't want to admit it, well, Job said, man that is born of woman is few of days and full of troubles. We tend to think it's the other way around. A lot of days, not so many troubles. But that wouldn't be honest. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. It is a biblical cause and effect. You know, there's an awful lot of people, they only want to remember part of the verse. My wife was counseling a lady not too long ago who said, the Bible says the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. It sure does. Psalm 37:4, the last part of that verse says that. But they just kind of conveniently skip over the first part. Delight yourself in the Lord. The result is He will give you the desires of your heart. You want what is right? We were encouraged this morning. It's not so much, God, you give me what I want. Well, I've made up my mind what's best for me. You need to know that the Lord knows what is best. In His way, in His time, I believe as we're having special prayer for the matter with this little one, we're reminded of the principle of Romans 8:28. God does things as His purpose is ordained. And if you think you're smarter than God, well, you're wrong on something else too. So, A, B, C, break it up and rearrange the order. The first that we talk about is you have to begin with trust in the Lord. If He is not your hope, if He is not your peace, if He is not your high tower, if He is not your strength, if He is not your portion forever, you're starting at the wrong place. Trust in the Lord. Too often we trust in self. We trust in our surroundings. We trust in our support group. I didn't know which passage Brother J.C. was going to read from the Psalms, but, you know, you'll meet yourself in the Psalms. If you just start in the Psalms, sooner or later, you'll say, hey, that's just what I'm going through right now. You can't go wrong just referencing the Psalms. For example, in Psalm Number 20, where is the confidence of a lot of people? Look at verse 7 of Psalm 20. I like this imagery. Some trust in chariots. I got 300 horses under my hood. Yeah, and you go out in the morning, oh, I have three flat tires. Those horses aren't going to do me too much good. I've only got one spare. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. If you have a horse, that's good, but a horse can come up lame. But we will rejoice in the name of the Lord our God. I got news for you. God's not going to come up lame. God's not going to run out of gas. God's GPS isn't going to fail on you. Little inside joke there. That's our great Lord. While we're in the Psalms, in fact, in my notes I had down Psalm 118, verse 8. You heard that this morning. Let's go ahead and read the verse right after that as well, because they do go together. Same author, you know. Psalm 118, we read verse 8 together out loud. Look at verse number 9. it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. So horses, chariots, princes, look out. Don't put your confidence there. And I'll bet a lot of you have memorized Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. That's a big problem. Some people figure, well, I'm smart. I know this and that and the other. I think I can figure it out. No, you need God to figure it out. You need God to lay out the way. It says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You're going to set your own? Somebody said, life is what happens to you while you're making plans. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. You know, people look at you funny when you say, well, I might do that. I'll have to pray about it. Pray about it? What do you mean pray about it? Well, I have to consult with the Lord. What's the Lord got to do with it? That gives you a perfect opportunity. He has everything to do about it. So, trust in the Lord. You know what we do? Well, here's what I do. Maybe you're farther along than I am. I wonder to myself, how is God going to do that? How in the world is God going to do that? And I stress about the how. H-O-W. Let's do a little letter jumbling. Take those same three letters, H-O-W. You ever notice if you jumble around, it makes W-H-O. It's not a question of how. It's a question of who. Now, last night we talked about Moses. And Moses had a lot of time to work with those Hebrews because they were 40 years in the wilderness. Well, while they were in the wilderness, in Numbers chapter 11, the Hebrew people, they had manna, angel's food, according to Psalm 78, bread from heaven, and they had water. That wasn't enough. That wasn't good enough. They said, we want. So Moses goes to the Lord, which was wise. He said, Lord, how am I going to feed these people? The Lord let him know, I'm going to feed them meat. They want meat. They're going to have meat. And you know what Moses did? Okay, I'm right with you, Lord. In fact, I think I know you're going on this. You ever watch a show and you think, I know what's going to happen. It's that guy. And then, oop, it was this guy. The writer is smarter than you. You just don't like to admit it. And so Moses, okay, now God, are we going to go to the water and catch a whole mess of fish? Are we going to take our animals and slaughter them? Moses was thinking, water animals, land animals. Obviously, if God's going to feed us, He's going to tell us to do one or the other. Okay, so Lord, what? I'll flip a coin. You know, heads, it's water animals. Tails, it's land animals. And you know what God fed them? He fed them air animals. Quail. Fed them quail till they were sick of the quail. Don't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, the latter part of the verse, Paul says, and we have it as a chorus of some of our hymns, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He, not what, not it, is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. You know, a lot of times I talk to people, they say, well, you're a Christian. Yes, sir. What do you believe about? They want to ask about a certain doctrine. Well, doctrines are interesting, but doctrines are articulations of what we believe. Bottom line, we believe God. God has spoken in His Word. If God said it, that settles it. Somebody put out a bumper sticker. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. How could you improve on that? Get out your magic marker. Scratch out the middle part. Because if God said it, that settles it. Whether you believe it or not. If you're not able to comprehend what God has said, it's still going to happen. God didn't ask you to approve it. I think a lot of Christians think that living the Christian life is like that Mission Impossible TV show. Your mission, if you choose to accept it. That's not how he put it to Mr. Jonah, now was it? And I don't think he does it that way today either. So, trust in the Lord. That's God. If you don't trust in the Lord, then you can't go anywhere with this promise. Whose mind is stayed on thee. That means it's not just 5 minutes, 45 minutes once a week, but we should be constantly our mind stayed on Him. They told me when I was a young person, not quite a young person anymore, they told me when I was a young person, don't marry the person that you think you could probably handle being around part of the time. Don't marry the person you think you want to be with. Marry the person you can't be without. You love to be with that one. You long to be with that one. You won't be Mr. Grumpity Grump or Miss Grumpity Grump. And it's the same with the Lord. We should be in love with the Lord. May we never lose our appreciation of His luster. May we never lose our love for Him. You know, in Matthew chapter 14, I'll bet you're probably well versed in this. The apostles, some of them anyway, were out in a boat and they saw Jesus walking on the water. And they looked and they recognized it was Jesus. Peter, the impetuous. We were in a meeting not long ago and a fellow said Peter was the most American of the apostles. And he explained himself. He was from Missouri. You know, he wants the people to show him. He wants to know. He wants to get himself out there, you know. All about involvement and possibilism and all that stuff. So Peter says, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. You know, the Lord didn't pull out a 35-page manuscript and give him 17 reasons why. He just said, come. And he did. Now, people say, oh, Peter, Lord, who else got out of the boat? So the rest of them better just keep their mouth shut. And Peter got out of the boat. And that's a lot of us in our Christian life. We start out, our eyes are on the Lord. They're focused on the Lord. And as long as you're focused on the Lord, you're moving in the right direction. And that's all you can see. You've got what some would call tunnel vision. You're not thinking about what could happen. The wind is blowing and the waves are going. There's probably hungry fish bigger than you ready to gobble you up. You go under the surface. I don't know that Peter could swim. And, you know, the Sea of Galilee was a lot bigger than the pond those fellows were fishing from yesterday. I come from California originally, and you know, the Sea of Galilee is about the size of Lake Tahoe. It's cold, it's big, and it's deep. The boat goes down in the middle of Lake Tahoe, it might be a long time before they find what's left. Same with boats on the Sea of Galilee. Now, Peter wasn't even in a boat. He got out of the boat. As long as his eyes were on the Lord, he was okay. Same goes for you and me. Whose mind is stayed on thee. Yes, there are winds blowing, but who controls the winds? Yes, the waves are rising and falling, but who controls the waves? I was in the Navy for a little bit of time, only enough time to find out some things. You see, if you're in the Army, basically, if the Jeep breaks down, you can walk home. But if you're in a boat, and you're out in the sea, and I'm not going to say any former Marines. There's no such thing as a former Marine. But if you're a Marine, and they gave you an experience on board sea, you know that the boat can go up and down. And it can go back and forth. And it can rock from side to side. And it can do two or even three of those things. Are you getting seasick yet? Did you spend any time at sea? Did you get seasick? A little bit. Some of them got it a lot. Yeah. My dad was a Marine. He said he had got seasick while they were in dock. I'm sure it happens. But a boat can go every which way. So there's a reason why the Navy hymn sings of eternal Father strong to save. There's not a whole lot of free willism in the Navy hymn for some reason. Because when you're out in the midst of the sea, you know you're at the mercy of the God of creation. So we want to be focused in that way. So if you have anxiety, that's going to drain you. It's going to keep you from doing what you should. The folly of worry is emphasized time after time. Just to take a moment to go to the Gospel of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, as we call it. Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 25. This is Jesus, therefore I say to take no thought for your life. What? This is my life we're talking about. Don't get anxious about that. Take no thought for your life. And that includes the things about your life. What ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Some people spend half their time worrying about what they're going to wear and the other half what they're going to eat. That doesn't leave a whole lot of time for things that are much more important, like spiritual growth, prayer, contact, witness, all of that. See, there's some people, they can't be in a Bible study. They can't have personal devotions. They can't go to a worship service. Because they got things to do and places to go and people to see. Things which, bottom line, aren't going to matter in the light of eternity. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7, Peter lets us know something about the troubles that come up and how we should deal with them. Peter, who had been walking on the water, Peter, who took his eyes off Christ and started to sink like a rock, he barely had, you know, he didn't give one of those very, very long flowery prayers. He didn't have time. Lord, take it. And the Lord saved him. And now when he has opportunity to write, the Spirit has him to say, casting all your care upon him. See, prayer is not your last resource or last resort. It's your very first resort. You should always, always be going to him as the first and continuing. I'm so proud of a dear lady in our church when her husband was going through all kinds of problems. He had a heart aneurysm. And the doctor took her aside. She said, Mrs. So-and-so, I'm afraid it's in the Lord's hands now. She said, Doc, it's always been in the Lord's hands. If you're a doctor, please don't take this personally, because I reasonably, you probably don't have this attitude, but somebody said the main difference between God and a doctor is God doesn't think he's a doctor. Casting all your care upon him. What? For he careth for you. God cares more for you than your friends do. Not saying anything against your friends, but there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. When my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. The Lord even knows what you need and cares more for you than you do. Keep that in mind. So, we looked at them in reverse order. We talk about trusting the Lord and then keeping our attention focused on him. And you know what you'll have as a result? Perfect peace of mind. Now, sometimes people have a kind of sort of peace. They have an occasional peace. They'll have a time of tranquility between crises. In John 14, Jesus begins this chapter by saying, you need to trust in the Lord. He said, well, let's just go over there. Because it's in the first and it's in the last. let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I mean, Jesus identifies with his heavenly Father. You've been counting on the Lord. Well, I am God in the flesh. I am the only begotten Son of God. And I want you to have confidence in me. And then toward the end of that same chapter, he's talking about how important it is that we understand this business of being troubled. It's a temporary thing. It's not a thing that really ought to be upsetting us. Look with me, please. Verse 27. Peace I live with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. What he say in verse 1? Let not your heart be troubled. He says it again. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So easy we become afraid. I have a theory about this. You know, in the New Testament, we have all these references. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Now, I could be wrong, but I'm thinking that's in there because we humans have a problem with being afraid. We're afraidy cats. Even if we're dog people, we're still afraidy cats. We get to be afraid sometimes. In the 37th Psalm, the 37th verse, first four words, it's not talking about a fella. The word mark here is a verb. It says, mark the perfect man. I read that once where my name is Mark. Somebody, no, I'm talking about you as a person. Mark the perfect man means look at this one. Make an example of this one. This is somebody that you could learn something from. You can follow in their footsteps. The rest of that verse says, it says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace. You want a peaceable life? You want to have a mind that operates in such a way that your confidence is in the Lord? Well, you look at the mature believer. This person has been saved since last Thursday. May not be the best person to model your life after. So he says, mark the perfect man. The end of that person's way. They know how to see things, how to approach things. We had a dear deacon in the church in California. And every once in a while, somebody get their nose bent out of shape at somebody else. And they'd ask this dear brother, he'd say, you know, I think my favorite passage of scripture, and it comes up a lot of times. Well, what is it, brother? It came to pass. What's so good about that? Thank God it didn't come to stay. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful. That means don't be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. We have a song, take it to the Lord in prayer. It's scriptural. That's the best counsel I can give. If you have a problem, pray about it. Sometimes, well, I know how to pray. Well, did you? Well, no. Well, why didn't you? Well, I just thought I'd do something else. Well, you thought wrong. Go back to the instructions. Rule number one is pray about it. Rule number two is, when in doubt, go back. Look at rule one. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You ever thank God when things don't go quite the way you thought they were going to? I just got through preaching on that a few hours earlier, and I was driving down the road, and the officer on the motorcycle discerned that I was going a wee bit over the speed limit. And he pulled me over. He got out a little book. So he got my license, and he put my name and my address. And, who's your employer? And I told a church, yes, sir, I'm the associate pastor there. Oh. And he's kind of wondering what he's going to do. And he says, well, if I hadn't started writing this, I wouldn't, but I got to give you the... I understand you're doing your job. I was in the wrong. That's the first time I had somebody say that. So he finishes up. He says, sign this, would you? And I signed it. And I gave it back to him and said, thank you. He said, what? I've never had anybody thank me for writing them a ticket. But you got some dope or something? No, no, no. He thought I was just saying that so he'd leave me alone. The Bible says be thankful in all things. I can't honestly say I'm always thankful for everything. But I was that time. I guess I was exercised about it. And he said, well, this is one to tell the guys when I get back to the station. Never had it. And I don't know. Maybe but I drove slower from then on when I was on his road. I guarantee you. It's important. Now, if you do what it says in verse 6, what do you know? The same result. Verse 7. And the peace of God. What did Jesus say in John 14? That passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, a verse like that is something we ought to remember, don't you think? So let's turn back to that text. Isaiah 26, verse number 3. And I think I can talk my wife into helping me out. Let's sing this verse. Are you game? Good. Isaiah 26, 3. We'll sing it once, and then when we all sing, and then Brother J.C., if you'll come. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Because he trusteth in thee. Because he trusteth in thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Let's try it together. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Because he trusteth in thee. Because he trusteth in thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. God bless you. Yes, sir. Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
Good word of the Lord. We still need to learn to trust Him, don't we?
Yes.
Trust Him. Lift up your cares to the Lord. Cast them on the Lord. Brother Dan, if you'll come. Sister Peggy. Brother Jim Gaylor, he used to say, you got to take it, and he'd move his body like this. Roll it over.
Yes.
Roll it over on him. And then don't pick it back up. My problem is I won't pick it back up when he doesn't. He doesn't take care of it like I want him to. Trust him. It's a blessing to be able to trust him and let him take care of everything. and watch His hand move, and you see God operate in your life. You see God work in your life. Keep your mind focused on the Lord. I had the word fixed written out beside that verse. Fixed, stayed, your mind on the Lord. Let's stand as we close with these wonderful thoughts about trusting our Lord. The same God that spoke this universe into existence. Same God.